All righty. We're in Mark 5 tonight. Mark 5. Book of Mark, chapter 5. Now, Mark 5, we can start back up in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her inner, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. It's kind of funny because back in verse 28, if I can touch him, I'll be whole. So in verse 29, she was healed of the plague, but it doesn't verify that she was whole until she admitted touching him down in verse 34. You can think about that. Verse 35. While yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith to them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lying, took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. All right, Father, we've read a lengthy passage here tonight. I pray that you might just give us light on a portion of it. I hope that, Father, we might take inspiration from something here that's found. Again, we have a tendency, our hearts tend to wander. Foolishness is that which perverteth the heart of a sinner, and the way of man is perverted by that foolishness. And so I pray you'd help us not to draw wrong conclusions when we shouldn't. I pray you might help us not yield to the voices of those that would lend us wrong impressions. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so turn to this passage, and you can see here that something happens. Now, we're talking tonight about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. I had to include the woman because she kind of interrupted things, and I'm sure he wasn't real happy about that. You come and you have Jesus on your side, you're going to heal your daughter, and she's dying, and this woman steps up and interrupts stuff, and so before you know it, you're there for 15 minutes, and then the word comes, well, she's dead, right? Got to be pretty tough. So Jairus represents somebody, and because he's a Jew, Jesus walked with him. It represents somebody, though, that gets saved and starts his walk with Jesus Christ. And so there is Jairus, literally, walking, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ on the roadside, literally walking beside Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Noah walked with God. We know that Enoch walked with God. We know that the disciples on a given day walked with the Lord. And so that's good. But, you know, Jairus, here he is actually doing it. And so I want you to think about that along those terms. Oftentimes, it's trouble that spurs you to get to a place where you get saved and then where you begin your walk with God. And that trouble often lingers. All the while that he's walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, what's lingering over his head, the shadow that he walks in, of course, is his daughter dying. And you're going to find, I think, that even though, as I said, you usually come to Jesus Christ in trouble, when you started your relationship with God, it probably wasn't the best day of your life as far as before you met Christ. You were probably sitting there thinking, you know, that you were in pretty bad trouble. That's why you broke and went to Christ, because trouble is inherent to that. In trouble with our sins. Our marriage is in trouble. Our life's a mess. In jail, something like that. And what you find is, while the trouble drew you to Christ, and so now you're literally walking with the Lord, and one day, Jesus Christ, like he did with this girl, fixes your trouble. Now, you may walk 70 years with him before, you know, he calls us home, before you die and go to heaven. And I'll not kid you, all your troubles won't be over until that happens. So that's the boundaries in which we're working here tonight. But I wanted you to see that the first trouble you came to the Lord with, probably your sins, maybe even other troubles, those troubles often linger and reassert themselves. And so they continue to have to be dealt with. But here is Jairus, on his way to getting his problems all solved. That's the road we're all on. And you need to walk with Jesus Christ the whole way. Does that make sense? You need to walk with him. Here he is walking beside the most preeminent man in all of history. He is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He is the eternal sacrifice. He is walking in Enoch and Noah's footsteps. And so he's walking along, and it's quite an honor to be called to walk with him. You know, it's kind of funny in the passage because my little daughter, verse 23, is lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And in the passage, Jesus doesn't say anything yet. He just gets up and goes. Now, I don't know that he didn't say anything. There's nothing recorded that he said. And so, you know, that tells me a little bit that you're going to have to walk by faith, because he's not going to talk to you a lot except through the Bible, right? You're not going to hear his voice. You're not going to necessarily get the touchy-feelies, the fuzzy-wuzzies. You don't always sense him there. It just doesn't work that way. But it is an honor to walk with him. Again, you're walking by the most preeminent man in history, and then he exceeds history. Again, the king of the universe. And so it's an honor to walk with him. We were taught in school that fellowship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in life. And I believe that that's the case. That is made up for us. It's not as simple as walking down the street, like with Jairus, and just tagging along. You know, it's interplay and overlay of Bible teaching, Bible reading, Bible preaching, prayer, probably disappointment. You'll have a few of those along the way. But church, service, sacrifice, discouraging times, and yet at times very rewarding times. And walking with Jesus Christ and fellowshipping with him there makes a fiery furnace bearable for three Hebrew children. Right? It makes a den of lions a feather bed for Daniel. Pretty amazing. But it makes the wind and waves obey for the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. It makes death kind of passe. You never look at death quite the same again if you keep your heart right. Because while nobody looks forward to how you might die, death doesn't hold great mystery. It's not a fearful darkness. It's where we step into the light finally. You know, that sort of thing. But it makes prison worthy of a duet by Paul and Silas. And so walking with him is an honor. And then here he is walking along. He's on the road to getting his problems solved. The overweening problem of Jairus was that his daughter was dying. And Jesus is with me now. Jesus is with me, period. And it's going to get fixed. And then somebody interrupts it. Verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered but grew worse. She comes along, touches the garment. Christ isn't going to allow her to be a camouflage Christian and just touch and steal away and not be called to account for the fact that she's been healed. And so there's a time frame there where there's this pause until she finally comes forward and it's admitted. And with that, after she's healed, praise the Lord for that. I mean, but Jairus has to be thinking, hey, I was first in line here. I had his attention first. I was here first. But Jesus stops and deals with all this. And then, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Sometimes you're on the road to getting all your problems solved. You're walking with Jesus Christ along the way. And there is this interruption. And there are voices that speak. In this case, it was the voice in verse 35 of certain of his household. And certain of his household come along and say, she's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now, I don't know what tone the person that said this took. If he was a Jew connected with a synagogue, he might very well have thought of Jesus as something like some sort of a fruitcake witch doctor of some sort. And so maybe it came across like, thy daughter's dead, why troublest thou the master any further? He didn't help you this far, so just, you know, dump him. So something sarcastic. It might have also been somebody that might have said something in sincerity, you know, feeling that Jesus shouldn't be bothered by this anymore. But the title of the message tonight is, why troublest thou the master any further? And there are some things implied by whatever tone of voice was spoken by whoever said that. Somebody from this guy's house. And I need to disabuse you of the notion of what is implied there. I need to assure you that there are plenty that will encourage you to depart from walking with Jesus Christ. Your King James onlyism, this crackpot church you go to, this outrageous desire to go preach hell on the streets, this idea of separation, this idea of how you should raise your kids is ridiculous. And don't you think it's about time you did it like the rest of us do it? Somewhere along the way, Somebody's not going to come along and in your walk with Jesus Christ going to kick your slats. And there's going to be something that happened, and there's going to be voices. The voices are going to say, what you bugging him? What are you bothering with him for? Right? Might be the voice of a mother or a father. Or the voice of the world. Or the voice of sisters and brothers or near friends, best friends forever. Very well might be the voice of the devil itself, himself. Some misguided Christian. Why troublest thou the master any further? Can't do anything else for you. So why don't you just come walk with us back to the house and we can dismiss him. All right? Now, remember, Jairus is walking with Jesus Christ. And I don't think you want to do what they suggest for the simple fact that verse 42 still exists in this passage. Straightway, the damsel rose and walked. She was of age, so she gets up out of death. So you better not listen to that voice, whether it be your voice or somebody else's voice. But the title, Why Troublest Thou the Master Any Further? There are things implied by that. There are misunderstandings. There are false assumptions. Somebody leaps to the wrong conclusion, and you might leap to the wrong conclusion at times. The first misconception is that it's implied, is that Jesus has already somehow failed you. Why troublest thou the master any further? He can't help you anymore. I mean, he was walking with you and apparently promised he would come take care of this, and he didn't. And so now she's dead, and so now go away, right? Why troublest thou the master any further? That somehow Jesus has failed you. You'll be praying and striving to walk with him, staying in fellowship as best you can, and life is going to land you a kidney punch. Somewhere along the way, something's going to happen that's going to be a devastating disappointment to you. It may be a brother in Christ. It may be something with a kid. It may be something with a spouse. It may be something in the church, whatever. And there's going to come a voice after you're devastated by this thing, and it's going to start whispering. And it's going to say, why troublest thou the master any further? Don't you think that, if he were going to help you, he would have already helped you? And why didn't he help you, by the way? I mean, he was walking with you and all that, and then he found time for somebody else. And here you sit, and you're bereft of your daughter. So, why are you messing with him anymore? Why troublest thou the master anymore? Right? It's discouraging and may lead you to not desire to walk with him anymore. There's a little bit of a hint of bitterness in there. You say, did that ever happen in the Scripture? Sure. Here's Martha. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick and still tarried for days. And when he gets there, Lazarus is dead, and he knew Lazarus was dead. And Martha's first words out of her mouth was, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. You're too late. You were warned, and you dilly-dallied, and that's how you feel. You'll feel like the Lord dilly-dallies, because he does not work on your time. And he says, and she says, you waited too long. In fact, when the Lord told them to roll away the stone from the door, she said, Lord, he stinks. It's been 4 days. Look, face it, you're too late. Martha's voice can get a little irritating. Martha is that lady that has a bigger mouth than she has sense. She's Peter's counterpart. She's always sticking her foot in her mouth. Okay? But that's her play. It's this accusatory voice that implies that somehow Jesus has already failed you. And life will deal you that blow. and the family, and then the blow falls, and, you know, a Christian, you know, is supposed to, everything's supposed to work out for a Christian now, and you have gone back to your family, and you preach to your family, and they're going to say, yeah, well, look what servant Jesus Christ got him. He winds up with somebody dead in his family, just like the rest of us. Just a phase he was going through, right? The world says, well, we could have helped out if you just let us know, but you decided to follow Jesus instead. That deal. There's always a voice. There's a voice in the back of your head that says, why troublest thou the master any further? And the implication is that he's already somehow failed you. Don't tell me there haven't been disappointments enough for you that, you know, the charismatics led you to think that would all be fixed. Maybe they're right. Maybe Jesus didn't fix it for me. So maybe I would be right to not walk with him any further. That deal, right? Here is the devil who plays you the same song on his little fiddle that he played Eve, you know. Well, yeah, the Lord had ulterior motives. If he'd been up front with you, you know, because, you know, the Lord knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods. And he doesn't want you like gods. He wants you stupid like you are. He doesn't want you to be enlightened. He wants you to be stupid like you are. And if you're not careful, it's easy to hear that voice. You know what I'm saying? Here is a backslid Christian. Yeah, same thing happened to me. I was all in with Jesus. And then this thing happened, and Jesus never even showed up. Never even sent flowers. So I quit walking with him a long time ago. There's some bitter folks around. You know, in Jeremiah 44, the children of Israel go back to Egypt. And Jeremiah sins and is a voice for God, and he says, you shouldn't have come back here. I'm gonna get you. And you know what they said? They said, you know what? We sacrificed to the God of heaven for a long time, and nothing got better. You know, it wasn't until we started walking, sacrificing to the Queen of Heaven, that we started seeing improvements. And so we're gonna walk with the Queen of Heaven. So they said, it's in Jeremiah 44, go read it. But all the world's armament, guns are aligned to try to break up your fellowship with Jesus Christ. They just are. I mean, again, here's Eve in the garden. Well, God knows that if you eat of that fruit, you'll be like him, and he don't want you like him. Here is Cain, and Cain felt shorted, disrespected, and he was disrespected because what he offered God did not deserve respect. Here is Thomas, and Thomas felt betrayed, a little suckered, a little jilted. After all, you know, Jesus Christ had made all these promises and all that kind of stuff, and wound up going to Jerusalem and getting killed and dying on a cross. They all saw him dead. They all saw him laid away. And, you know, why didn't he tell us about all this? And really he did, but they didn't pick it up, right? But I'm telling you, if I can't put my hand in the wounds in his side and in his hands, I will not believe. And that was Thomas's position there for a short time. On the road to Emmaus, those guys are walking along until Jesus Christ shows up. They're going, what in the world is going on? I mean, we thought it was him. We thought it was him. And now he's dead. Just don't understand. You know, here is Israel in the wilderness. God delivered us by a mighty hand out of Egypt. We walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. And here we are again and again, thirsty and hungry. We have to go out here and fight this battle with the Amalekites. why troublest thou the master any further? I mean, he's already, he granted us a measure of victory, and here we are still fighting. Here we are all still battling this thing all these years later. Hey, don't you find that that's how it is with your sin? Don't you still struggle with some things that you started this Christian life with? So why didn't the Lord just take it away? If you're not careful, the voice comes in, why troublest thou the master any further? I should remind you of something else along this line. You might recall that Jesus Christ is nowhere nearly as reticent, as hesitant, as slow to test your faith as any of us would be. We would give a guy who just started walking with us every benefit of the doubt, and when somebody interrupted me and wanted to stop me, I'd just say, just can it for now. I'm going to go deal with this guy because I don't want him to stumble. I'm going to go make sure his daughter's healed, and we'll deal with you later. But Jesus Christ doesn't do that. Over and over again, he allows somebody to be thrown pretty much in the fire right away. And this guy's walking along, and the first thing that happens, here comes this lady. Jesus Christ is tied up for 20 minutes, and by the time it's over, they could have been at his house by now, but the daughter's dead. So, why troublest thou the master any further? He's already failed you. Why are you bothering with him anymore? You know what I'm saying? It's like that. The more bitter feelings the devil can elicit from you, the better he likes it. Only problem is, Jesus Christ has never failed or betrayed anybody's trust yet. To this hour, he has never betrayed somebody's trust. You'll just recall that, again, Lazarus was dead 4 days, and he still raised him. You'll recall that the widow of Nain's son was dead and in the casket, and he raised him. You remember that over and over again, there are things that happen where Jesus Christ came along and delivered folks at a time and in a way they didn't understand, but he has never betrayed somebody yet. Anybody who's put their trust in him, he has always come through. You may not get your wishes, but nothing is ever beyond his control. The answer may be no for now, but no for now doesn't mean no forever. It's not the same at all. It's not the same at all. And so these folks come along and they say, why troublest thou the master any further? That implies that somehow Jesus has already failed you. And there's something about human nature. We just all kind of want to feel sorry for ourselves. And we all wish to kind of feel that we've been jilted somehow. It's just that catty little girl part of all of us. Well, fine. Martha. We're all a little bit like that. So that brings me to the next thing here. Again, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Hasn't he failed you? I mean, didn't he kind of jilt you? Hasn't he failed you already? So why do you keep messing with him? There's another thing that's implied. What is implied is that something that sometimes continuing on with him is without benefit. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's no more benefit for you to walk with him anymore. After all, your daughter's dead. Right? That's what you went to him with. That's what you went to him for. And now she's dead. And he can't do anything about it. And so, of what benefit is it for you to continue to walk with Jesus Christ? And all I can say to that is, you know the answer. You always benefit from walking with Jesus Christ. Bible says that the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. So is a man to his praise. You refine silver in the finding pot, you refine gold in the furnace. And what a man is a melting pot for praise. And the things that you go through in life, the fires that you're put through, is to purify your praise to God. And so sometimes that's painful. Sometimes that, you know, sometimes there is a loss. And I'm not even pretending to tell you that your dead daughters are going to be raised on the spot. One day you'll see them again, right? But I'm not even suggesting that Jesus Christ, because this is a messianic day, he's not going to raise your dead right now. He's probably not going to heal your leprosy right now, right? But the implication is that sometimes continuing with him is without benefit. Continuing with Jesus Christ is never anything but a benefit. We live in a disposable society. We're used to using something and throwing away. And if there's something we don't want, we throw it away. If you don't want the baby, you can abort it. Right? If you are tired of your wife, get another one. If you don't like your job, well, quit. Get another one. There's very little momentum to just stick with something. And the most important thing you can stick with is Jesus Christ. Jesus is dispensable to too many when he doesn't make himself malleable to your wants and needs. And that's not right. It's not right. You're walking with him, remember. Now, he's the king of the universe. He's the preeminent king of kings and lord of lords, the prince of the kings of the earth. It's your honor to walk with him. And he has to condescend to walk with you. So you are always benefited by walking with him. Job's wife says, curse God and die. You know, I've seen you suffer enough, and I love you, so just curse him and die. Instead, Job prevailed and suffered through a long time, and lo and behold, got all his kids back and everything else back. You know, happy ending to the story. So what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm saying that you'll hear a voice in the disappointments and the troubles of your life that will say, why troublest thou the master any further? There is no need to continue this charade of walking with him. Your daughter's dead, and he's already failed you. Let's face it. He could have given you victory in this a long time ago. And here you are still fighting it. And it implies that somehow continuing with him is not a benefit. Whereas I'm telling you that walking with Jesus Christ is always a benefit. If he tells you no now, that no is not necessarily permanent, right? You know, Abraham still walked with God. When the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I, having no idea what the Lord was going to ask. He's delivered him this son. It's a son of promise. And he had no inkling that what God was going to ask him to do was take that kid up on Mount Moriah, offer him for burnt offering. But he did. Took Isaac up there, laid him down on the altar, tied him up, had the knife raised, and the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Right? Abraham's still available. Abraham is still available with the knife raised, ready to drive it into the chest of his son. You probably haven't walked that far with Jesus Christ. So that brings me to the next thing. The Jairus' daughter is dead, and certain of his household come and say, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Okay, you've troubled him enough. Your burdens He doesn't need any more of your burdens. He doesn't need any more of your troubles. Your burdens are unwelcome. You've troubled him enough, right? It's interesting when they said that, because to this point in this passage, in this incident, there's no record of Jesus having spoken. But immediately, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard this word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I mean, he jumped on it like that, right? I just want you to see that Jesus intervenes immediately. If that applies to our lives, then when that voice comes that says, because you're disappointed and hurt, when the voice comes and says, why troublest thou the master any further, you should go to your Bible. Because Jesus Christ has noted that the devil's working on you. He's noted that your family's working on you. He's noted that your best friend forever is working on you. And in this passage, Jesus Christ immediately steps in and says, just trust me. I'm not done yet. Right? And so here is Jairus, and he has deeper trouble than he had when he started, because now she's dead. She was just sick. Now she's dead. And so what you're going to find is that sometimes you discover that you're worse than you thought you were when you started. In fact, I would say that for everybody that grows in the Lord, you probably figure out that you're far worse off than you thought you were. Right? And if not for your trouble, you would not be walking with him already. If it weren't for your... This is true for your failures and your sins. If it weren't for your failures and your sins, I have come to a revelation about something. I keep failing in some of the same stuff, and I'm ashamed of it, because there was a time I was better, but now it just keeps raising itself back up. And don't break a leg trying to figure out what it is, okay? It's not a dope habit, okay? I don't have a girlfriend on the side, just so you're clear. I'm not driving to Hinckley every weekend, Saturday, to gamble, okay? I'll drive up there for the buffet, but no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, not you. No. But I've come to realize that, you know, these things I keep failing in, keep having to go back to the Lord and say, Lord God, I did it again. And it struck me that while I'm not justifying my sins, and I'll not justify yours, that my feelings probably keep me closer to God than my victories. The knowledge that I'm a dirtbag probably keeps me closer than if I had, you know, won the victories and was tooling along at a high altitude. So it's worth thinking about. Just worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about that your troubles are the reason you've been walking with him all along. So maybe instead of just giving you the charismatic victory, the twinkle dust victory, maybe he lets you continue to struggle with that sin because it's keeping you in touch more than if he granted you be healed and fixed everything. You know? And I noticed something else in the passage as we... Don't worry, I'm wrapping up pretty quick. But I noticed something else in the passage. Did you notice that verse 35, thy daughter's dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Verse 36, Jesus heard that, he jumps in. He says, be not afraid, only believe. Keep walking, bud. Don't leave me now, you keep walking. Right? I mean, pretty much stepped in. Told the devil to go away. And shut up. and got in your face and said, come with me. Keep on walking. And then, verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John. Did you notice that the entourage got smaller? Jairus got that far, and whatever else happened here, as the entourage got smaller, as this thing happened, now they had been walking in a group of, 12, 15 people. Now it's just Jesus, Peter, James, John, and Jairus. Now Jairus is walking with a fairly elite, intimate inner circle with the Lord. And if you'll keep walking instead of bailing out like so many do, you might find yourself in pretty rare company. Because it's really easy to just say, yeah, you're right, I'll go off to Walmart and quit walking with him. I'll go do something else because it's been a disappointment. So come on, Christianity sometimes is a disappointment because you're a disappointment. And the Lord disappoints you because you wanted him to give you a free victory, and he doesn't. He lets you suffer through some things and walk through some things and suffer some losses. But the implication is that somehow your burdens are unwelcome. Why trouble ye the master any further? Because you've troubled him enough. It's been enough of a burden for him so far. And so since she's dead, you should just let it go. Let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. I never thought about it this way before. Chapter 5. Okay, to address it directly, that somehow your burdens are unwelcome, that he is tired of carrying your problems, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, he's telling you there to cast all your care, all your burden. There is no burden you're going to lay on him that's too much. He's not tired from it. And if you can acknowledge that, then would you note the next verse? Had you ever put the two verses together? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him who may devour. Wonder who it is that's saying, why troublest thou the master any further? He's tired of bearing your sins. He's tired of your failing. He's fed up with you coming back again and again and again with the same thing. Be careful, because that verse, what follows that verse is be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him he may devour. If you yield to that sentiment that Jesus is tired of bearing my burdens, I'm more of a trouble to him than I am a son. I'm more of a disappointment to him than I am anything else. The devil devours you there. Don't you find that interesting? It's kind of funny because I was thinking about that, and then it sprung to mind that here's Abraham in Genesis 18, and the Lord showed up at his tent door in Mamre and told him that he was going to destroy Sodom. And since Lot was in Sodom, Abraham was immediately concerned. He says, but what if you find 50 people that are righteous in Sodom? He says, okay, I won't kill them then. What if you find 45? If I find 45 righteous men in Sodom, I won't kill them. Okay, what if you find 40? He goes from 50 to 45 to 40. And he just keeps, he just keeps coming back and dickering with God. It's like, the Lord says, okay, for 40 I won't kill him. Well, thank you, Lord. What about 30? He says, for 30 I won't kill him. Well, I appreciate that, Lord. What about 20? For if I find 20 righteous men in Sodom, I won't burn the place. Thanks, Lord. What about 10? And you know, at the end of that passage, you want to see it? Look in Genesis 18. Maybe you should see it. Genesis 18. The last verse of the chapter. After all that dickering, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Verse 33, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. You know what the Lord called that? He called that communion. Here's Abraham dickering him down, Jewing him down is what they call it. Bargaining, dragging, and you know, each time he's kind of crossing the lines of, well, okay, well, appreciate that, Lord. How about 20? How about 10? And the Lord says, this was good fellowship. I'm saying that your burdens are not too heavy for him. Your failures are not too heavy. You're coming back and repenting and feeling bad and feeling awful about it and having betrayed his trust and having, you know, just disgusted yourself with your double-mindedness, your instability. Again and again. Oh God, can you please forgive me again? Yeah, no problem. He likes it. Here's Abraham, Jewing him down. Lord says, that was good communion. Kind of gives you another slant on this, doesn't it? Don't you think? That somehow your burdens are unwelcome. Your burdens are not unwelcome. Casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. You know? And there's one last thing I'd point out to you, and I lost my place, but it says, why troublest thou the master any further? It says in Mark 5:35. Why troublest thou the master any further? He says. Last thing I'd point out to you, besides the fact that it implies that he's already failed you, it implies that continuing with him is not a benefit. It implies that somehow your burdens are unwelcome. I'd like to say it also implies that Jesus' accessibility is limited. Why troublest thou the master any further, Jairus? You had an hour with him, and now it's somebody else's turn. You know, you've had enough time with him, and you've troubled him enough. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the likelihood of you getting an audience with the President of the United States is just about zero, no matter who he, she, or it is. You probably could not get in the office of the governor of the state of Minnesota, no matter what your pleas are. And you might not be able to get in the office of the mayor either. Maybe you could in a smaller town, but I don't know. You say, well, you're saying, well, what I'm saying is that the Prince of the Kings of the Earth is accessible anytime for as long as you will stay. He never kicks you out. And the implication here is, why troublest thou the master any further? You've troubled him enough. And, you know, you've had so much time, and you blew it. And so, you know, he's done. You just let somebody else have the time now. No, the Lord is a pretty good multitasker. He does lots of stuff all at once, like hold the universe together while he died on the cross. He is perfectly capable of still feeding the little sparrows and spending time with you at the same time. And I just want to say that Jesus' accessibility is not limited at all. Jesus' reaction to all these implications of the verse, "Why troublest thou the master any further?" He said, "Don't listen to them. Don't listen to that voice in the back of your mind. You walk with me. Just keep on walking." And you know, in Jairus' mind, she's dead. Dead's dead. And Jesus Christ shows up at the grieving time and says, "Why make you this ado and weep? She's not dead but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. And he didn't care a bit. He said, "Okay, Mom, Dad, Jairus, and Mom, Dad, y'all come with me. Peter, James, John, y'all come." He raised her from the dead. And that's why you keep walking. That's why you keep walking with him. Because I tell you, one day, all your troubles will be o'er. They're not going to all happen on this side, okay? You're not going to have your dead raised before the resurrection, before the rapture. You're not. You're just not. And chances, you're not going to have your sin nature put away before then, no matter what the fundamentalists say. But you should just think about the fact that your failing, your weakness, only shows that you need him more. And so keep walking with him. And don't listen to the voice that says, "Why troublest thou the master any further?" Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father,